5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Jenny Kavnar of AT&T Sportsnet. Of course, hosting an awesome radio show on MLB Network. Jenny, thank you so much for giving us some time. I know you are a busy lady. Rough day yesterday for baseball fans.
Oh, man. Don't you know it? I don't know. I have all the emotions. I think I'm sad. I'm sad as a baseball fan. I'm sad it came to this. But I think more than anything, I'm just frustrated. I'm not frustrated at the players or the owners, but you look back to how this all began. You know, it really goes back 5 years to when the players felt frustrated by coming out of that CBA, felt like they lost. We saw a lot of it play out, the relationship, the contentious relationship between the two sides in 2020 when they were trying to figure out how to play a shortened season and a pandemic. And then we all kind of knew this was coming, this was brewing, this was going to happen when this collective bargaining agreement was up. But from the day that the owners locked out the players on December 1st, there really was no communication or no conversation for almost 40 days.
Wow.
And here we sit at lockout day 90, and you just look back at such a wasted opportunity and such missed time where had they been negotiating little by little every day in December, fine, take a holiday break, pick it back up in the new year, like, would we even be here? So I think there's just signs looking back that they really missed out on a chance to kind of get things solved before having to have this self-imposed deadline and get closer and closer to the clock where people were going to start losing money. And that's what's going to happen now as the season will officially begin with some canceled games.
Yeah, already missing out on some games. And Jenny, take us through this, because we've talked about it on the program, but who better than to discuss, really, what are our main hang-ups here? Obviously, it seems like things are pretty far apart at this point. So what are those main hang-ups that are probably going to lead to more cancellations of games?
Yeah, it comes down to really the core economic issues. And the biggest thing I would say is probably the competitive balance tax, what fans would know as the luxury tax. Obviously, in every other major league sport, there's a salary cap. And for the last several years, it feels from the players' perspective that the owners have kind of used where the collective balance tax is sitting right now as a loose salary cap, so to speak. Not a lot of people venturing over that. Not a lot of teams and franchises willing to pay that tax on the other side. Some are. Some have gone out and spent a lot of money and said, you know, we'll do anything it takes to win and we'll go over that and we'll pay our fines. And that would include at that time draft picks. So they're trying to get that money raised on the player side. They feel just as a reflection of society with, you know, where we're at, they want that dollar amount raised. And in addition, they also want minimum salary raised for players. They feel like in today's game more than ever before in the sport that players are coming in at just contributing at such a higher level. You know, you look around at your 1, 2, and 3 players that have really affected and impacted a lot of teams positively. So they want to get players played when they're younger. They don't want them to have to wait till arbitration, till free agency. They just want to kind of increase that money there. And then they also collectively came up with this idea of a pre-arbitration bonus pool. So, you know, not to get into too much of the jargon, but a player is under control with a team for about 6 years, and 3 of those is at minimum salary, and the next 3 is at arbitration level. Now, that changes a little bit, you know, through different course of things, but in general, that's kind of how it works. And an idea that both sides have come up with to pay some of these younger players earlier was do this pre-arbitration bonus pool. So even though they're making minimum salary, if they're some of the best players in the game and they finish in the top voting when it comes to Rookie of the Year or MVP, or they get Gold Gloves, or they get Silver Sluggers, or, you know, based on some statistical measurement, they're one of the best at their position, they want them to get a huge bonus for that. Well, the bonus pool money's really far off right now. You know, it came in that Major League Baseball the Players Association wanted over $100 million in that pool and wanted about 150 players to benefit from that. And Major League Baseball went from about $5 million all the way up to $30 million. But as you can tell, there's still way off financially there. So they're all interconnected, but it really comes down to players want the owners to have the availability to spend more money because they want the product on the field to be better, and they want those younger players to get paid.
We're talking to Jenny Kavnar of AT&T Sportsnet, of course, host of Unassisted on the MLB Network. Jenny, again, you said it. It just seems like they are so far apart. We've already lost a couple of games, a few games. How far are we? I mean, how far is this thing going to go? I mean, do you see a season happening?
Well, I do see a season happening. I think there's way too much to lose. I think the reaction from fans kind of says it all right now. There's a lot of disappointment, and I think you're going to start to lose some of your fan base. It's just been a tough couple years for everyone trying to, you know, fight through a pandemic. And obviously there's a lot more going on in our world that's a lot more important than Major League Baseball and the argument going on between the owners and the players right now. So I think people are just kind of disinterested from that perspective. But I felt like it wouldn't really hurt the fan base too much until games started getting canceled, right? A lot of this battle was going on in the off season. Nothing had been lost yet financially for the players or the owners or for fans. But now all of a sudden, when you look at a schedule and you say, oh, well, they're not playing the first six games. There's no opening day, so to speak. The Rockies, for an example, they open at home. And right now, their home opener is not in jeopardy. It will still be on April 8th, as it was set to be, because, you know, the games got canceled right up until that point. But here's the kind of, like, hang up of the whole thing for me on how much longer this will go. And we saw this back in 2020. Based on this being a collective bargaining agreement, part of that is if there is going to be a change to the length of season or a change to player compensation, which is happening when the commissioner says he's canceling games and players won't be paid for them, the players have to agree to that on the other side. It has to be collectively bargained. So now that just adds a whole different layer on top of this, that they have to be able to come to an agreement on what that looks like and how many games really will be in a season. So I don't know how much longer this is going to go on. I felt like we were getting so close when they stayed in a room for over 15 hours on Monday, and then it just kind of all fell apart. And in this day and age of social media, we're hearing a lot more from the players themselves. You know, if you look around at different Major League Baseball players putting their messages out there, a lot of them are really frustrated and felt like MLB was almost trying to blindside them by sneaking in some small fine print things into the larger competitive balance tax agreement come that Tuesday, after they had been up into the wee hours of the morning and then came back to the negotiating table for that final deadline day. So they felt kind of blindsided in that regard, and they're like, that didn't leave a good taste in their mouth, let's put it that way. I don't know when the next meeting is. It's not public yet when these two sides are going to pick up or if they're going to continue to pick up for consecutive days. I mean, again, this is the first time in this entire off-season of lockout and CBA negotiations that we saw them sit in a room for more than 2 days in a row, and they did it for nine straight days. Are they willing to do that again until something is signed, sealed, and delivered? I don't know, but as a fan, I want them to do that because we need to get a move on here as the clock and the time, or as the calendar and time are ticking.
Yeah, and your first point when you first jumped on was like, why weren't we having these crazy long sessions well before? And then we had to ramp up here where, you know, more than likely they're not going to get a deal done because we know how these things go. It does take time. You know, they're not going to get a deal done in that first conversation or 10. I mean, it is going to take time.
Right.
I thought it was interesting how you mentioned too, like the players kind of feel like they're sneaking things in. You retweeted Austin Gomber's tweet about, hey, they're basically viewing us as dumb baseball players. They're trying to sneak in a bunch of things and then saying we changed our tone. Boy, that when you hear that kind of stuff, that's where my brain goes, man, how far away are these guys?
Well, I feel like where Major League Baseball may have miscalculated this entire thing is before, you know, they have a big PR machine around this. They feel like they have been able to control the narrative a little bit. But again, the last time that there was a labor dispute in this game was 27 years ago when we had stoppage of play. There wasn't social media then, right?
Yeah.
There wasn't a big voice for the players, and the players more than ever feel like they have that voice and they have to use it. And we've heard that tone and we've heard that sentiment from them this entire time. of they feel unified and they really do feel galvanized. And you know, they aren't gonna sign something just to start getting paid, to start their clock on a paycheck. And I think that's what Major League Baseball had banked upon the whole time. If we can push them up against that clock, because baseball players don't get paid until the regular season starts. They don't get paid during spring training. So that first check will start coming when games start coming. Well, now that that check's not coming, how long are they really willing to wait to get a win in these negotiations? Because again, this dates back to 5 years ago when they walked away from the last collective bargaining agreement and feel like they really kind of got screwed, whether they screwed themselves or they actually did get screwed. They just feel like they were not going to do that this time around.
Jenny Kavanagh on the First Advantage hotline with us. Jenny, another thing, you know, obviously the money, that's the big stuff we're talking about. But you had retweeted this last night about Major League Baseball wanting to implement a pitch clock, ban shifts, have larger bases for the 2023 season. What are your thoughts there? Because we've talked about editing the game a lot, and some people are for it, some people are against it. These would be some major moves.
Yeah, they would be some major moves, and I've had some time to think about it a little bit. I think the pitch clock thing has loosely been seen in a way in the game. We've seen it at spring training. We've seen it at the minor league level. I don't think that would have a huge impact. If anything, I think it would be a positive impact on the game, right? Keep it moving a little bit. But at the same time, it's so foreign to the game of baseball. Unlike any other sport, there's no clock on it, right? You can go to a ball game for a day game, and you might not show up for dinner because you're all of a sudden in super extra innings, and you just don't know when it's going to be done. And so I think implementing a clock at any level of the game drastically does change it. I don't think that's the worst one. I think the whole banning the shift, it would be good for the offensive side of the game, I guess, to let the offense play out a little more. People complain about that often. The action of the game is lacking nowadays. It's not baseball of the 90s or early 2000s. But at the same time, like, that's the beauty of the game. And when you look at every decade of baseball in America's pastime, you can kind of pinpoint to what was dominant then. Was it hitting? Was it pitching? Was it defense? And, you know, it's always been a dance throughout the course of history of how to adjust. Once pitchers dominate and rule a decade, all of a sudden hitters kind of figure out and change some things. And then hitters rule. And then, you know, the back and forth. So the shift is what it is. It became part of the game. Hitters had to adjust to it. I'm not sure banning it is going to be the end-all, be-all. And then the bigger bases, I don't know. At this point, I'm like, what are we doing here? What's happening?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, what's...
Is there really that much injury prevention, you know, data out there that shows we should... Like, it's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. At some point, you're like, are we just throwing out things to throw out things? Or are these legitimate changes that are actually going to see benefits on the other side?
Yeah. When I read that tweet last night, I was like, bigger bases? I mean, are we just throwing stuff out there? Now we're throwing it up at the wall to see what sticks, I guess.
Yeah, it feels that way sometimes. It really does. But again, I think these are the things that, like, I also hadn't heard, you know, we know the universal DH had been agreed upon in these meetings. I'm sure they had talked about the pitch clock at some point, but we hadn't heard these things publicly before yesterday. Is this what they were trying to just sneak in with the whole deal on Tuesday going, oh, the players might be sleep deprived. Let's like sneak this in there too. You know, I don't know because we're not in those meetings. Maybe they made it very clear that that was on their agenda for Major League Baseball. And that was a must-have for them in the negotiation process. You know, who knows?
What are your thoughts on Rob Manfred? Obviously, people very vocal today about, you know, you're getting it. I mean, you're flat out getting fans just ask, does this guy like baseball? Because sometimes when he talks, I don't know if the passion's there. But obviously, when you're looking at who's leading these discussions, we've talked about Dick Monfort as well. But what are your thoughts there? Because this is a tough thing to handle. There is really no handbook on this at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think no matter what your feelings are about Rob Manfred as the commissioner of baseball, you look at his press conference alone yesterday, and it just felt to me like, why was there the uncomfortable giggling sometimes?
Yeah.
Like, it should have been a somber tone. You're canceling some regular season games that is your business. Like, you're speaking to fans and media alike right now, and that's their business. That's what they want to be doing. It's where they work in. Like, I just didn't understand the tone to some of his comments during yesterday's press conference. I thought that was a little odd. But we've seen this before. It's a big money game, and he's paid by 30 owners to be their representative and, you know, to be out there. I think the other question that I spun off of that today, and I heard, you know, on my show on MLB Network Radio from some fans, and I've heard on Twitter from some fans, was like, why aren't we hearing from owners in this entire process? You know, we hear from the commissioner who's representing them. We hear from Tony Clark, who represents the Players Association, but we also hear from players, right? We hear from players on the executive committee who hold press conferences. We hear from them via their social media. Like, why haven't we heard from owners? And I think it's a really great question, right? Because those are the ones at the end of the day, it's their businesses individually. Some of them have more money than others. Some of them have major market teams. Some have smaller market teams. Some are willing to spend money. Some clearly haven't and have gone the round of tanking, and that's what players are trying to prevent. But why aren't we hearing their collective message? So that's a big question I have at the end of all of this.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Jenny, what does your gut tell you? Because, again, if anyone's going to give me a halfway decent response as far as, you know, when this could get resolved, it would be you. What does your gut tell you? How long are we going? If you had to press and say, okay, I think we'll be playing baseball in this month.
Yeah, I think we'll be playing baseball in May. I hope we're playing baseball at some point in April. But I feel like if they were going to cancel games as of yesterday, are they really eager to get back to the negotiating table and solve this problem by next week when you have to cancel a whole nother series of games?
Yeah.
And that's what worries me, is the calendar. It's always worried me. And again, they left a horrible taste in my mouth when they just didn't communicate for 40 days to begin this lockout.
I think you're 100% right. Jenny, I can't bring you on the show without talking about the Colorado State Rams.
Yes.
Let's get some positive stuff, right? I know baseball fans are bummed out, but looking at the Rams, of course, I know that's your school. You're rooting for this team, but they're not going to win the regular season title. Boise State wins that last night, but pretty sure they're going dancing, so pretty exciting up here in Northern Colorado.
Yeah, super exciting. I mean, what Nico Medved has built, what he has done, the energy on campus, the energy around Fort Collins and Northern Colorado in general, like, it has just been so impressive to see that amount of students in Moby Arena and that amount of people just packing the house, sellouts after sellouts, becoming one of the best college basketball venues this year. That has been so impressive. I got a call the game against San Diego State, and man, like, that was epic to see that and to see how things ended. They have been tough, too. Like, when their backs have been against the wall, when they haven't had their players playing their best, they have found a way to win big games. And I know they'll try and do that against Boise State, who obviously just won at least a share of the regular season title last night with their win against Nevada. Big credit, though, to Leon Rice and Boise State. They have done some amazing things with a very short bench this year. He does not have a ton of players, and they have surprised a lot of people. He always, I think, brings his A game as a coach. I really admire what Leon's done and that team, and I know they'll represent the Mountain West well in the NCAA, but I think Colorado State's going to give them a run for their money on Friday night, and maybe, just maybe, how seeding ends up, they might see each other again in Vegas, which could be very exciting. Oh,
wouldn't that be great? And again, this Mountain West Conference is so much fun. And of course, you know that, seeing these teams. I mean, from the 1 to 5, you got some really good teams. And honestly, other than maybe one or two teams at the bottom, the conference is extremely strong this year.
Oh, it's been great. It's been probably the strongest that I've seen since 2013, when they sent 5 teams to the NCAA tournament. Maybe another year in there when there was 3 or 4 teams that were pretty, you know, top notch at the top of the conference. But you mentioned it, top to bottom. I think the parity in the Mountain West, it's so hard to play on the road. The road venues are so challenging. And then you add in the fact that you just have such elite basketball level and players. I mean, we talked about this 3 or 4 weeks ago on some broadcasts I was doing for the Mountain West Conference of, like, how do you pick a Mountain West player of the year? It's very clear that David Roddy is in that mix, but he has some tough competition. Like, there's 7 or 8 players, and 2 of them happen to come from Wyoming that you could legitimately say have a chance and have a running at that. But I think as the season's gone on, as some of those players or their teams have kind of fallen further in the standings, I just think David Roddy is standing in the spotlight of that. And if he's not Mountain West Player of the Year, I don't know what's happening then.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I'm fighting this battle on Twitter, but I think David's going to be an NBA player, and maybe not next year because I think he's going to be back. But I think in a couple of years he'll be there.
I'll challenge you in that. I don't know if David will be an NBA player. I think he will be a professional athlete.
Yep.
I think he might be playing in the NFL on Sundays because he reminds me a lot, a different body type, but a lot of Antonio Gates, who played all college basketball, then was drafted as a tight end and had a very successful NFL career. And I could see that happening for David Roddy.
Hey, I wouldn't complain. I would be happy to see him at the pro level because you're right. He is definitely a pro athlete type of guy. Jenny, you're rocking and rolling, man. Love following your career so much and what you're doing with your new radio show. Well, fairly new, right? Back in November, I think, was the announcement. But you're killing it, and we love following you.
Thanks. Appreciate it so much.
All right. We'll try to have you on soon. Thanks. That's Jenny Kavnar of AT&T Sportsnet, hosts Unassisted on the MLB network, the radio network on SiriusXM. Jenny Kavnar. Great stuff from her as always. Oh, and doing the basketball thing, too. I did catch that game, CSU and San Diego State. I just saw your text, B-Rad. Sorry, my man. Tell Jenny, go Smoky Hill Buffs. I did not get that out there. He says, hey, I consider this lockout a rare win for the Rockies. No series in L.A. and in San Diego. Could have easily been a 1-5 start. There you go. That's the way to look at it. 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.